T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We say good morning to Bobby Butler, spent 12 years as an Atlanta Falcon, and he is kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on a Saturday, talk a little Falcons football, rookie mini camps going on. Bobby, now that you've had a week or two to be able to digest what went down with the draft, give me your thoughts on what you think the Falcons did in the 2021 NFL draft.
Well, I tell you, I was excited about it. You know, we started drafting. We got a, in my opinion, a future Pro Bowl tight end, a guy who can play both tight end and wide receiver. I mean, he's going to be a matchup problem for a lot of people. And then our second round pick, man, Richard Grant, man. Listen, this kid right here, I think, is a special talent, and I can't wait to see him play on Sundays. You know, he's going to help us a lot. You know, we lost Ricardo Allen, Ken O'Neill, DeMonte Cosby in free agency, and we drafted a kid like that, and he can play free safety and strong safety. He can pretty much play anywhere in secondary, so I like that pickup. I think it was a great pickup for us. And I think overall we did a great job. You know, of course, we were more defensive-minded in the draft, got a couple cornerbacks and, you know, D-tackle, you know, offensive tackle. I'm a firm believer that when you're building a football team, you really start up front, and you build that, everything else takes care of itself. So I think we did a great job overall. I'm excited.
You watched A.J. Terrell last year holding it down at that corner spot that you played so well for so long with the Falcons. What do you see from him? What did he show you last year as a rookie?
Well, first of all, let me say this about Mr. Terrell. I was a fan of his when he was in college, and some of my colleagues and buddies, I'd always tell him, this kid in Clemson, man, he's a good corner, right? He looks the part. He's slender build, very physical at the line. You know, just play with the right kind of tempo for me. A great tackler in open field. And can cover the pass. I thought he came in and played well. You know, the biggest thing I wonder when you draft a corner, especially when you draft him high, and you know you put him out there in the fire, and you look at him perform, and you wonder how's his confidence going to be. You know, nowadays in the NFL, but Mr. Terrell stood up to the plate, and he did a great job for us, and I'm excited about his future.
How was your confidence coming into this league? You came from Florida State. You stepped in right away as a starter. A nice rookie year. You had five interceptions as a rookie on a pretty good Falcons team back in 1981. But
well, I tell you, it was scary because almost immediately I was in the starting lineup. And we played our first game against the Cleveland Browns at the Hall of Fame game, first preseason game of the year. And, you know, I started to think about that game and got real nervous because it's a nationally televised game, and it's the only game being played on that day. So everybody in the United States is going to be watching this rookie corner go against Reggie Rucker, Ozzie Newsome, Dave Logan, and guys like that. But, you know, I had a good game, had an interception in our first game and preseason game. And then the second week we played the Raiders out in Oakland, and they had Cliff Branch and, you know, Jim Plunkett and, you know, all those guys out there. And after that game, though, I really calmed down and became a pro.
So they tell me technology's supposed to be our friend, makes our job easier, right? Well, it is this thing. I'm not sure what's going on this morning. But anyway, glad to be hanging out today. We had a little technical issue. Going to try to get things set back up here. Bobby Butler, 12 years as an Atlanta Falcon. Bobby's joining us. We talk a little bit about the Falcons. Bobby, have I still got you? Are you still there?
Hello.
Hey, Bobby, can you hear me?
I got you.
All right, good deal. I apologize. You played You played against some really good wide receivers in your day, some Hall of Fame guys there, Jerry Rice, Drew Pearson. You mentioned Ozzie Newsome with the Browns a moment ago.
Right.
Who was the guy for you that you just hated to face?
Well, you know, I was fortunate in the fact that I didn't have to play against him that often. I got a chance to practice against him almost every summer because the Dolphins came to Atlanta for training camp most of my career. And Mark Clayton was a nightmare. You know, he was a guy that was quicker than me. Most guys were not quicker than me laterally. He could not run me speed-wise, but, you know, when he got a little separation, then, you know, that guy who was throwing the ball had a cannon on his shoulders, and he can fit it in anywhere. And so he was a guy that really gave me fits, Mark Clayton.
How do you think teams defend how will teams defend Kyle Pitts? What are they going to do to him?
Hey, listen, the defensive coordinator is scratching their heads right now. Because, see, here's the problem. You know, when I talk about matchup problems, you know, you can't cover him with one guy. You can't do it. And if you do that, they're going to hurt you. Because, like I said, he's a tight end. He's a receiver in a tight end's body. And so, you know, and then on NFL rosters, everybody's got receivers. Everybody's got receivers. And so if you double him, you know, you're going to leave yourself open some other place. And so he's going to be a matchup problem for most teams. And I think he's going to allow the Falcons to really play the chess game. I can't wait. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Bobby Butler, former Atlanta Falcon, hanging with us this morning. Bobby, I've said it several times. I think cornerback, your old position, is the toughest position to play in football now because of the rules.
Right.
First off, I can imagine you probably spend a lot of time Sunday yelling at the television every time there's a flag called on a defensive back, I bet. But how how much different is it now from when you last played this game in the early 90s?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I think back in my day, you truly couldn't touch a guy but one time in the first 5 yards, right? I was that new group that came in after the Mel Blount rule, right? And so they were really looking at it tight. And remember, we didn't have instant replay in those days. So, you know, if you're running, you know, stride for stride with the receiver and your shirt touched them back in those days, they threw flags, right? And so it hasn't gotten any better. You know, it's a tough position. I think schematically and from a technique standpoint, they do things a little different than we did it back in the day. But it's tough. You know, it is the toughest job in the game. But, you know, you got to have the right guy with the right temperament and a guy who's got, how can I say it this way, a very short memory.
That's true.
You know, because every corner is going to get beat for touchdowns. If you don't believe me, look at some of Deion Sanders' tapes, the best corner on the planet of all times. He got beat for touchdowns as well. So you got to have a short memory. You got to be able to bounce back and keep performing.
Yeah, it seems like every rule, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think every rule change that's been made in football in the last 30 years have all been favoring the offense. Do you think we'll ever see a time when maybe that tide will turn and things will kind of swing back towards defense, or is the idea of scoring a bunch of points and high powered offenses is that just football of the future?
Well, that's football of the future, and you're just gonna have to find some mega super corners and guys up front who can rush the passer and make it more difficult. That's not going to change. I don't see people really going for. And then we got to worry about our viewership games that are 7-6 games or 10-3 games like that, defensive games. People are not interested in that. And so what they're interested in is putting the ball in the end zone and quarterbacks throwing for a lot of yards, right? you know, it's almost amazing. Because you can never compare one generation after another one. But I look at the amount of passing yards that these quarterbacks are throwing for today, and I look at a guy like Johnny Unitas, who, in my opinion, is the best ever played a game, right? And so a lot of people say, Johnny Unitas? I said, well, go look at his stats in a day that, you know, you ran the ball every first down, you ran the ball on second down, you threw on third down if you had to. And so we're not going to ever go back to that time where, you know, you're going to have a guy who's going to rush for 2,000 yards on a consistent basis or anything like that. Running backs are by committee. We want to throw the ball. We want to ring up the scoreboard. And we want wide receivers who can catch balls.